Everything is connected, and I'm here to tell you how. I'm Dr. Laura Hansen with Connect My Brain. This podcast is for moms who are concerned about their child's development. The brain impacts our mind, body, and overall health. I explain how your brain is wired, what happens when it's out of balance, and how early childhood development not only impacts your child, but can affect you as an adult years later. Want to know how to improve your life? Join me and learn about your amazing brain and what it can do for you. Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Laura with Connect My Brain. So glad that you're tuning in. Boy, has it been an adventure over here. So a couple of weeks ago, maybe three, I started the triangle of development. We looked at the mechanical, the chemistry. Then I had some guests. Now I got to clean up and finish up with the brain part of that triangle. So that's what we're going to dive into today. So glad that you're with me. Really looking forward to sharing this information with you. So remember, we talked about how we're looking at management plans and listen to your providers wherever you're going. If you're getting results, stay there. If you're not, check out somebody else. I think from doing this podcast, I've really taken some very big steps to create an even greater online remote presence. There's so much that you can do with the tools that we have here at Connect My Brain. So if you are thinking about finding somebody else, make sure you consider us here at Connect My Brain. So in talking about these management plans, the motivating factor is, you know, sometimes you just get people that say they can't do something. Money is always an obstacle for everyone, including providers. But if you're really vested into a program, there's always a way to figure stuff out. So that's where I want to talk about the brain part of this and why it is so important to consider your brain in the equation, no matter what you are trying to work on, not only for your child or perhaps yourself as an adult. But I think the best way to lead into this is to describe how the brain actually gets wired up. And you know, it's definitely influenced during pregnancy. So that's literally the brain growing. And so whatever's going on with mom, not only on an internal compass, but what's going on in your life. And there's so many things that can happen. This can be an unplanned pregnancy. It can be that you're having trouble conceiving and you had to choose to go through IVF. There could have just been tons of stress in your life. It could be a job. It could be you're on your own. I mean, the list is endless of things that can potentially go on and where they might impact one person differently than another. And that too has a lot to do with how your brain actually gets wired up. So when you come into this world, you are fully formed, but you're not fully functioning. So you've been living in the womb, and whatever went on during that pregnancy absolutely plays a part in how you get wired up. I mean, even pruning started in the womb. And what pruning is, whatever pathways are firing and wiring together, the most rehearsed become the most efficient to the brain, even if they're not the right connection. If they're the ones that are practiced the most, the ones that are not, they begin to be cleaved away. And this process goes on for years after the baby is born. Now that baby comes into this world and it has to now begin to grow the sensory motor cortex. So it's a misrepresentation to think that it's all sensory motor in the womb, because it's not. You have to come out of the womb. The reflexes are really important. They're pushing the neurology to go forward, but that baby has to have the opportunity to engage in its own environment, and that's where we are building the sensory motor. So when we look at a child, we're looking at their brain getting formed, so from the bottom up. And when I do brain mapping on little bitties, I don't necessarily use normative data information, because most of it is only geared towards children 6 and above. So looking at somebody who's 4, who's 5, really understanding how the wiring of the brain goes on is so important to really identify what you're looking at. Now, maybe you're going, well, what's a normative data bank? So when we do a recording for the neurofeedback, we have a reporting team that we can send our recordings to, and they'll generate reports. And the way the reports are generated is through algorithms of many people, variety of ages, variety of backgrounds, who they have information on, so that they could kind of have a typical starting point. And typical does not mean normal. It just means typical. So most of the time, data is only out there for perhaps children 6 and above, and adults, most of the time, it's readily available. But then what you're looking at is how many standard deviations away from the mean average, taking your bell curve, having your mean average, looking at overpower, underpower, how many standard deviations away are you coming from when we're looking at the mean average? So I look at children 4 and 5 years old. Yes, we do. We do brain maps on them, because I've actually gotten extended credentialing. Not only am I board certified in neurofeedback, but I'm also a diplomate for reading QEEG, quantitative EEG analysis. And for example, I did a brain map on a little 5-year-old today. And what I found most interesting, with the eyes closed, it took a complete 5 minutes before that alpha brainwave was really showing itself on the recording. So what does that mean? So alpha is your focus calm. Now, that's not his dominant brainwave at 5 years old. Theta is their dominant brainwave at 5 years old. That's the subconscious, that's imaginative play. But he's moving towards alpha as he gets older. But you still have alpha brainwaves, and that is your focus calm. And it really matched the scenario of what the child was actually going through, to be able to sit, relax, and go through the process. Plus, it matched the background where there was lots and lots and lots of stress in the pregnancy, in the delivery, and thereafter. And we're talking about a 5-year-old. They're closer to the beginning than they are, you know, going into more school-age children or towards puberty. So to see this lack of time before he could actually get into a state of calm, that plays a part in how I look at the child, because this is the brainwave. This is what I saw in the recording, and it can help me understand what else I'm going to see in the developmental assessment. So it's so important to be able to work with someone who gets it. it's so important to work with someone who gets it, who knows how to look at this information and then know how to apply it. The map alone is not the only instrument we use in order to assess a child's development. And if my reporting system only has data for 6 and above, this is a year's difference, but I can still see through those reports organization, other types of findings like the alpha theta ratio. There's little pieces like that that I can absolutely pull. But to be able to see that in real time while they're here and begin to explain to the parent, okay, let's understand what's going on for your child and let me connect the dots. And that's the big picture for this little person, having lots of trouble getting regulated emotionally in school, trying to handle stress, especially there's been some new developments, maybe, you know, this transition of school, especially after Christmas, you know, that's when lots of things accelerate in a variety of grades because they're getting them prepared for the next level. Well, that key word is transition. So at one level, I'm okay. But if you're expecting me to do something completely different, I need to be able to transition. And if you remember, go back, listen to my podcast on Moro. The Moro reflex is all about transition. You're going from the withdrawal reflexes into the primitive reflexes. So there's a complete transition. The withdrawal reflexes are the ones that really heighten up our defense mechanism, preparing us for survival. Then we're going to have a transition and we're going to go to the primitives. And the primitives are there is something in my immediate environment, some kind of sudden change when we're talking about Moro, and I'm going to have a response. So we can take that word transition. How am I transitioning when things are changing in my environment? Rather, we're talking about home, we're talking about school, we're talking about meeting a provider for the first time. What is it like for that little person? So all of this influences how that child's brain is going to get wired up. Children have to move. You come into this world, you are not reading, writing, and doing arithmetic. You're moving. And it's absolutely imperative that a child gets to move. I have spent so much energy in this area, and my app is done. Now we just got to get our Google and Apple developer thing, and then it'll go live. But that whole app is about letting you have in the palm of your hands or on the web instant ways of checking out, is your child on target? But moms, you have an incredible intuition. And if you are ever uncertain, please reach out. Send us a message through the website at connectmybrain.com, the contact us page. Be sure and tell me when you're available. And reach out and ask a question. We have built so many resources. You know, there's a lot of people out there that talk about primitive reflexes. And I'm sure you can tell that I find this very important. But I would like to add this note. We have to be careful about jumping into something and only getting bits and pieces of the information. I think you will find with me, I'm always taking you back to the very beginning. Lots of times people are out there and they're telling you all, if you see this kind of a locked pattern of movement or posture, all you have to do is practice this and it'll be fine. And that's not true. There is a complete progression, a journey that the body goes through. It's not just hit and miss. It's not just one little element. All of those reflexes build on each other. They overlap with each other. Some go away before, or are meant to go away before others. Some are meant to stay longer. So I really take a lot of caution on the areas where I tell people, here, try this. So this is one of the things that has really brought together what we're offering, not only through the app, but at the eSchool. We are really trying to put some great pieces together that are safe for your child to do at home with you. But again, I think we can always clear up lots of different questions and concerns if we start with a conversation. And I will assure you that I will help you start in the right place. I've had several people here this week alone that their child really isn't ready for the in-office program. So let's start the home program. And the cool part is if you start far enough back where things really were the insult, the nervous system comes forward very, very quickly. So this isn't a long time. I have people that have done a home program for 30 days, and then their child was able to start transitioning into the office. Now, everything is relative. I am not a cookbook. I do not just, you know, churn everything out on a conveyor belt. This is a very individualized approach to looking at what I would think would be the most important structure, the brain. And you have to match it correctly when we're talking about children. Okay, so let's flip this over for a minute and let's talk about you as an adult. Because children, we're looking from the bottom up. On the adult, we're looking from the top down, especially when adults reach out and they have things like anger issues or anxiety, depression, insomnia, even POTS or the autoimmune dysregulation of your autonomic nervous system. These are real things. And lots of times you can see that the individual's actually been going through this for a very long time. But here's the key component and the difference between the child and the adult. As the adult, you can actually articulate what you are experiencing. You may not know why, but you can say it. Children typically act out in their behavior. Really don't like that word, but it's simple, gets the message across. When things aren't right for them, they don't have a point of reference. They haven't already lived some decades on the planet and maybe have a job, married, kids, etc. So there's just a total difference in the neurology. And that's the part that also has to be appreciated. So I have adults who have felt like they're very anxious and depressed now, but when they do a questionnaire, they're actually finding that, you know, I had trouble learning when I was a kid. Well, just think about all those years of practicing those stress patterns inside of yourself, because you, when you're a kid, if you don't like line up with everybody else, it absolutely makes you feel very anxious and maybe over time even leads to depression. There can also be emotional reasons for anxiety and depression. One of those things with anxiety is trying to trace it back to where it's, you can try to remember the first time that you actually felt anxious. Sometimes it does go all the way back to childhood, but you get the chronicity of that feeling. And what we want our adults to understand is that whatever that first situation was, and especially what the timeline was, if it was under the age of 8, you were building your subconscious mind and you were literally locking that in like a new computer. When you go and buy a computer, there is the hardwire. Then you add Word, PowerPoint, Excel. But in that time frame, under the age of 8, you're like the hardwire of a computer. So things have a tendency to really stick. And they could have stayed with you for however many years based on how old you are. So that's a tough one. That takes a lot of rolling up the sleeves and getting prepared to do some work. So when I talk about these kinds of labels that we use in our culture today, I want us to understand I am not a counselor and I am not trying to sound like one on my podcast, but looking at it strictly based on what's going on in somebody's brain. And you find patterns. So for example, not having enough alpha on the right-hand side of the brain is a pattern associated with people that feel anxiety. Not having enough power on the left-hand side of your brain, beta power, can make people feel depressed. So we can have power issues in our brain. And yes, these patterns are then feeding back to us. But there is typically a reason why. Sometimes it can just be the chemistry of things, but don't ignore your emotions. Hopefully you are seeking out whatever is the right avenue for you to look at other services that can help you navigate those journeys. But adding the brain into the equation is so powerful. I would really say, especially in the last couple of years, there are many counselors that are sending the people that they're working with for neurofeedback. And many people are on medication. The cool part about neurofeedback is that it actually makes medication work better. So if I'm giving my brain a medication to offset the depression, I'm changing chemical communication right down at the synapse. If I start adding neurofeedback to that equation, now I'm strengthening the circuits that communicate directly with the synapse. And so perhaps there could be a change made in someone's medication. Now, what I always do is I always inform every adult, I'm not going to be part of your medication, but please make sure if they weren't referred over here, please make sure whoever you're working with knows, whoever prescribed the medication knows that you're doing neurofeedback. Because over time, you might need a little adjustment to your medication because your brain is actually working better. Well, that's good news. Now, there's many other things that we can utilize brain work in order to help whatever it is that we want to accomplish. In fact, one of the things that neurofeedback is really posturing itself towards is peak performance. And I love that because I can tell you with having neurofeedback around me since 2008, I feel like my brain is better. Now, I've done neurofeedback, but I gotta coach it all the time. So I am incorporating my brain. It's not just the neurofeedback, but it's the ability to take what you learn in neurofeedback and apply it to life. Okay, so let me bring this one and bring it to Technicolor. Because, you know, services are only great if you can take them with you, right? So let's say somebody's sitting down and they're doing neurofeedback. We always spend time with our patients to make sure that they know what they're doing. We're not just plopping you in a chair and having you watch a show. We're making the connection for you. But we try to let you find it. Let me explain that. So, for example, when I do this with children and I get them all set up, the last thing you do is you pull the visual filter over whatever it is that they're watching. This visual filter is going to go light and dark. The ones I love the most are the ones that go, hey, 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 what are you doing? Take that darkness away. So they see it immediately. And I go, oh, what do you see? Well, it's dark. Well, that's not me. That's you. What do you mean it's me? Well, that's your brain. If you want to be able to see the picture, you got to settle in and let your brain find the right place. And watching that light bulb go off for them is incredible. And before you know it, they're getting all kinds of rewards, the little clickers going, and I'll come up and go, you know, you've already done that 300 times, whatever the reward number is. Now, some of them don't even really notice the filter going over at first. So we give them a few sessions to get used to it. And then we go, hey, how do you think you did today? I don't know. Well, did you notice the picture getting bright and dark? Yeah. Well, that was your brain. What do you mean it was my brain? Every time your brain was in the right place, the picture got bright and you heard a little sound. Really? Yes. And then next time they come in, how'd you do today? I did really well. How do you know? Because the picture was bright most of the time. Now that connection has been made. Let's say that child's in here for attention issues. Okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to start keeping a tally how many times you find yourself daydreaming when you're at school. Now they're becoming more conscious of what they feel like when they're daydreaming and they're making me little tallies. Then next time, all right, this is what I want you to do. The next time you're in school and you're getting ready to put a tally down that you're daydreaming, I want you to stop, sit up, take a deep breath, and I want you to try to put your brain back into the state it was in when you were doing neurofeedback. Now, I gotta tell you, kids get this. And they get it so easily and effortlessly. I'll tell you who's the greater challenge. It's the adults. Because you've been around longer and you believe the only way that you can get something done is if you muscle it. In neurofeedback, you have to allow it. So you have to try to get your conscious brain entertained by whatever it is that you're watching. And you have to allow your subconscious mind to notice the pattern of the filter, of the brightness and the sound. And then we'll start in that same type of progression of, okay, how do you think you did today? How do you know? Because they got to know what they're doing, even the adults. Now, I've gone one step further over here at Connect My Brain. We have our adults also do our Connect journal. After you've had a few sessions, we want you to go and start practicing your work daily. And so we've put together a journal for 30 days that allows you to take yourself through the process of breathing, learning something about your brain, and then applying it to 5 questions. You pick whatever topic you want to work on and you work through it based on the information that you're learning about the brain on that given day, and you start to apply it. This is what we have to do to change the brain, especially for adults. Everybody needs repetition. So I don't want to say children don't need repetition. They absolutely do. But because the child is already really engaged in a very intensive program, especially over here, the adult has to kind of bring up that threshold. Your brain only changes in real time and with some kind of feedback and intensity. So coming and doing neurofeedback once a week is just really not going to be enough. You've got to do it at least a couple of times a week and maybe even go 3 and 4 in the beginning so that you can start to have the practice and experience what it would be like to apply this to your life every single day. Okay, so what else would I want to consider brain work in order to change something that's chronic? So let's talk about pain. How many of you out there have literally experienced pain for greater than a year? Okay, don't put your hands up, especially if you're driving your car. How about 5 years? How about 15? How about 10? Oh, sorry, 5, 10, 15, 20. What about 25 years? When I used to teach like 3 weekends a month, I used to ask the audience this same question, and it was amazing how many hands would go up. Pain is a hard one. You can work on the physical body and absolutely start to make some changes. But if we're talking about somebody that has had pain for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, that's literally a pattern that has been set up in the brain. And it is very difficult to change that pattern unless you change the pattern that's also in the brain. For every year of chronic pain, you lose 2.3 cubic centimeters of gray matter. Gray matter is where you process information. Wow, could this be something that could also generate early degenerative changes in the brain and lead to things like forgetfulness, losing words, memory, energy, and then maybe even further down the road, dementia? And the answer is yes. We've got to keep these brains on and let them have newness. The brain loves newness, novelty. You've got to go after something. Why are you here? It isn't just to get up and go to work or raise your children. There's something about you. Just like my work, this is my passion. And I'm now even taking this passion and putting it to a new level with the app, with the e-school. I have a book. I got maybe 1 or 2 more chapters to do. I'm taking my passion and I'm creating my legacy. And that sparks my brain. What sparks your brain? Exercise is one of the greatest things that we could do for our brain. When we get into aerobic capacity and literally exercise at our target heart rate, we are going to burn the stress chemicals off of the receptors that are cramping the style of an area of the brain called the hippocampus. This is one of the main areas for learning and memory. When you exercise, you burn that stress chemical as fuel for your aerobic power, and then you create a protein in your brain that enhances new learning for 48 hours. And you know where this information comes from? Alzheimer's research. Now, remember, I told you I'm reading that book, Inoculated Brain. Woo-hoo! Is it heavy? I'm going to be sharing some information about that book in later podcasts, but we are facing more issues with memory, and it seems to be accelerating. I'll leave it at that for at this point. But it's important for you to take care of your brain. You've got to feed it the right stuff. You've got to exercise it. Neurofeedback is a great way to not only work on an issue, but to even take you to new heights. One of my earliest cases of neurofeedback, gosh, I think it was probably 2012, maybe, or 2010 or 11, maybe. But this gentleman, and I know I've mentioned this before too, but he was really hitting a roadblock. He was opening a restaurant. And I'll tell you something, this is 2024 and the restaurant is still open. I just love that. But he was hitting a roadblock on finishing the build out to get the restaurant open. And he felt stuck. You know, sometimes we do, we feel stuck. And so he sought out neurofeedback and it was a game changer. He worked to make his brain push the stuckness back and allow who he really is to come forward and finish the job. And he even did a testimony for me a long time ago. And like I said, that restaurant is still open today. So again, you know, whatever you're working on, if it is bringing results, stick with it. Be supportive of the people that are supporting you. Follow what they say. Do a personal inventory. Are you actually doing what you're being asked to do? Are you pushing back? That too is a pattern. But if you're not getting the kind of results that you really want, check us out. Go over to the website, send us some information about you, and we'll be happy to schedule a call and find out if we're a good fit and how we can help. If not, I may have some other suggestions for you of what you might want to try. But I'll tell you, the types of cases that come through this office, the changes that we see day in, day out are so exciting. I think one of the other things that I'm so grateful to is so many people that come here, they are learning how the brain actually is working, how their child got wired up, why they may still feel stuck, and they're getting answers that nobody else put together. So much of what's out there is always trying to take you right from where you are right this minute. But that's not all of you. You are a culmination of every day that your little self was knitted together in your own mother's womb. So regardless if we're talking about a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, that's your whole life. You are all of that. And every part of it was what created the blueprint that says, this is you. Well, thanks so much for tuning in today. We've got lots of guests coming up, so stay tuned. But remember, we got the app coming out, and I'm so excited about it. Keith over at Upworks has done a fabulous job. And of course, my awesome podcast manager, Marcy, and then Stephanie Meyer has put together the whole drip campaign to support the families in the Jumpstart program. We are firing on all cylinders over here, and it's very exciting, and we want you to be a part of it. So make sure you reach out. Feel free to call the office, 678-501-5172. And remember, this is your brain. This is you. You are a mechanical being. You are a chemical being. And you have a brain and a mind. And all of them are meant to work together. Thank you. Be blessed. Thanks for listening. I hope today's lesson will help you or someone you love. Do you have a question or just really want to talk to somebody about brains? Connect with me over on Facebook or Instagram at Connect My Brain. Looking to understand and optimize your particular brain? Check out connectmybrain.com for course information and resources. A special thanks to Marcy Page for producing this episode. See you next class.